What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back. I am your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And today we got a great one because today joining me is my former teammate, one of the greatest teammates, you know, I ever had while at Auburn, you know, at elite track speed. Every time he touched the football, he had the chance to take it to the house. And so just an electrifying player, even better person, none other than Sean Shivers. What's going on, bro?
Yo, what's up? What's up, bro?
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You for having me, dog.
Absolutely, man. No, I appreciate you hopping on, man. So we just going to jump straight into it, brother, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Come on, let's do it.
All right, let's do it, man. So obviously, you know, it's no getting around it. You was one of the smallest players on the field at all times. And so, but that don't, you know, that wasn't one of the things that defined you. And so just taking it back to, you know, when it all started, like what made you, you know, kind of grind the way that you did? What made you run that ball the way that you did? What made you kind of have that like dog in you? Because every single time, you know, we knew like once you see eight in that hole, boy, you better come with it. Because, you know, yeah, no, for real though, because it don't matter about the height. And so like just taking it back to where it all started, like, was it little league football? Was it the way you grew up? What was it kind of that made you that kind of animal on the field?
Right. So I can really say that it started in little league football. So when I played at this first park called Lauderdale Lakes, so I wasn't, like you said, you know, the elite track speed, I was the fastest on the team. So they'll just tell me, get the ball, just run outside every time until I got to Miami Garden Ravens. And my first, like, actual real running back coach James Richardson. Mind you, we was like, probably 9-10, but we're doing real running back drills. Like, everything set up the right way. Like, we had short structures because our head coach Rod Mack, he played at the U. And a lot of our coaches were like, former NFL player, or former college football player. So we had scrubs since we was now. Like, we actually watched film and everything. So that, like, that was, really, at nine, ten years old. So Coach James, he noticed that every time I get it, I just want to run outside because that's what I was being taught. So that's what I thought I was supposed to do. So I kid you not, practice started probably like 5:30 and probably like 7 o'clock. I stayed out there until about 8:30, 9 o'clock, doing inside drill the entire time after practice. Cause he's like, no, we're gonna get you up in the middle. And then from that point on, I just took off. Now I was looking for contact. He was like, no, you can't do it every time. Well, I'm just telling you that you gotta hit the hole. So it kind of piggybacked from off that. And then also, I remember my freshman year of high school, we had a couple of college coaches coming through, and one of my buddies heard a coach say, yeah, man, he won't ever play D1 football. He's too short. So So my boy came in, he's like, yeah, man, the coach, he said that. I said, who said? I said, all right. I said, say less. And I'm like, I'm here for a reason. I said, I'll play a true freshman for a reason. And coming up, mind you, coming out, I was 5'6", probably like 160 playing varsity, starting on varsity. So ever since that point, I always had that chip on my shoulder from little league and to now. Just always had a chip on my shoulder. Just every time I get it, man, we're gonna run past me or we're gonna punish somebody.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And that definitely reflected in the way that you ran that ball, you know, even when we was teammates. And so obviously, you know, things started to pick up, you started getting recruited, teams started coming around, calling, visiting, things like that. So just take me back to that recruiting process and kind of what ultimately led you to choosing Auburn.
Right. So I'm gonna tell this funny story. So this is gonna be funny for the Auburn fans too. So growing up, right, so I knew about Auburn, but I'm like, yeah, I ain't going to Auburn, like, because I know my cousin Harry Adams, he played at Auburn. Then we had something, so some of the older Auburn fans gonna know about this, they called him a D5. It was like five players from Dilla High School. It's a high school in Fort Lauderdale that went to Auburn. So I'm like, okay, I used to have a shirt and all, so I'm like, okay, now Auburn cool and all. Then I remember when they were like, oh yeah, I think it was Crown Dog. Yeah, Crown Dog, we called my coach, like, man, you know, we interested in Sean, you know, we want to get him up here and such and such. So I'm like, Auburn. I'm like, no, I don't really want to go to Auburn. Then coach just said, man, just go see the place. Man, I kid you not. All I had to do was go up there one time. I said, oh yeah, this is it. This is it from the get-go. Lamar, I wasn't messing with Auburn. I'm like, nah, I don't want to go to no Auburn.
Right.
Man, it took me one time to come out to Auburn and see the play. I'm like, I just felt the love. That's all I talked about. Every soon as I got home, I told my mom, I said, Mom, for the commit right now. She said, boy, no, you ain't.
We gotta weigh our options.
So I was young too. So I'm like, Mom, for the commit, oh, I'm going to Auburn. So, you know, the recruiting process, it was cool. You know, we had like, so Scott Frost, he was the UCF coach. And then that's when they just got hired at Nebraska. So, man, I kid you not, man. Because Scott Frost, he came. So, as soon as he got hired, he came straight to Chaminade. He was talking to me. I was hearing him out. Man, I'm going to Auburn, though. Hey, Auburn, man. It's just something different about the program. And when I was there and when I played in it, obviously, you know, you was there. You know, like my boy Cam Barr, you know, I was around Cam a lot when they were getting recruited and stuff. So, and then you had Jeremiah, you had Ryan Davis, like those guys, you know, that's from Cam from Texas, but like got some of the guys from Florida. I was around them guys. So I'm like, man, I know I'm going to Auburn. Like schools, you ain't really got no chance. I'm just going to Auburn. Like I shut it down early too. I think my junior year, we was halfway through the season. I'm like, man, I'm gonna go ahead and shut it down, man. Go ahead and commit to Auburn. But recruiting process, it was kind of tough because schools was coming at me hard. They were like, man, just give us an opportunity, just come see the players. Ooh, I'm shutting it down. I'm like,
hey, you.
I'm not going to Auburn, man.
So we finally landed at Auburn, and so you was a class after me, 2018, right?
Yep.
So we came off a tremendous season. So you come into a pretty deep running back room, and so we were pretty similar in the fact that our journeys kind of weren't maybe as we envisioned early on. And so we came in, we had to deal with some adversity. So I know some young guys out there, like, just kind of talk about what that adversity was like. Maybe things not going your way, maybe not getting as many carries as you would like or something like that, but still showing up every single day. Like, you was a tremendous teammate. You was always, you never let it affect the way you worked out. You never let it affect the way you practice or, you know, handled your relationships and things like that. And so just kind of talked about, like, what helped you stay grounded or maybe, like, who helped you stay grounded.
So one thing I always taught, like, just growing up is always, Don't never let anybody affect how you play and how you go about things. They say it don't matter, you know, if you plan this much, you get this money carried. Don't let nothing affect you. Just come out each and every day with the same energy. So my mind, I didn't care. Like obviously I do care, but you know, I'm like, man, I'm it's team over me. At the end of the day, it's team over. I'm not gonna go crying, coach. I think I should get 15 carry. I think I should get 20 carry. Hey man, I just know when I get my opportunity and I get my time, I know I'm a shine. It just it ain't reflected because every time I got a ball, I did something with it. I did what I supposed to do. No, it is what it is at the end of the day, man. I tell kids now, like it don't matter about you. Okay, you gotta be this guy, get 100 carry. I'm like, man, just play football. I say end of the day, coaches look at everything. They look how you go about things. Let's say I'm mad that I only got 6 carry this game. Okay, coach seen it. He seen my body language, he seen my attitude. Okay, say less. We're gonna sit you to the side. We're gonna bring the next guy up. He gonna take your six or 10 carry that you're about to get this game, cause you want to be mad. You want to be upset. Have an attitude. See, that's just not me, man. I'm an energy person. Like, you know, you as my team, I'm energy. Like, I'm gonna talk my stuff every day. I'm gonna go out about it every day the same way, and I'm just keep adding fuel to the fire, cause I know once I get my opportunity, I know what I'm gonna do with it.
Yeah, no doubt. And just piggybacking off of that just a little bit, man, because you said something that kind of struck me, like that kind of attitude that you have, that kind of approach that you took. Like nowadays in this area of college football, you know everything about that check, everything about NIL. Guys not really looking at it like that no more. So now being on the coaching side of things, like, is that still your approach when you're talking to guys or like what's kind of their attitude towards, you know, thinking like that?
Well, just like especially being here, I know the name, man. It's just like these guys, like, really, they guys ready for the NFL. Like, they not even worrying about the money. They worrying about playing football. They worrying about winning a championship. And they always, like, want to do things to get better. Like, even the freshmen come on, hey, coach, let's go watch film. Hey, coach, let's go do this. No, I mean, it's just the little stuff that you don't think kids will do because, you know, they're getting all this money. But them kids don't care nothing about it. They want to get better, and they want to see how I can get on the field. How can I do this? How can I do that? And that is impressive because it's not just like one freshman. I see freshmen on the defensive side, like literally the whole team, like fresh whatever. They always end up watching film. They doing what they supposed to do. They have their own little session. I'm like, that's bit time because that's stuff we were trying to do. We was captains, you know, at Auburn. We were trying to get everybody to buy in, come together. You know, it might not work now how we want it to, but it's just like, man, it's like beautiful to see like these guys in the office around the facility, just in the 24/7, just learning and getting better each and every day. But I think these guys, man, they don't, like I said, I know here, they don't really care about the money. Obviously, you know, they're going to get what they get, but that's not the biggest, that's not their goal. They know the goal is to reach to the NFL or life after football. So,
yeah. So what I'm hearing is, you know, it's really a culture thing. And so it's really like about the leaders and the coaches and kind of what your culture is and what's really important. And so it sounds like, you know, as long as everything is right in the culture and everything is, you know, heading in the right direction, everything should be smooth. And so I think that should be encouraging for some fans to hear that.
Oh, yeah. And so I think it starts with Coach Freeman, too, because Coach Freeman, he a dang good leader. Like, it starts with him, then it just feed off him to everybody else. So, yeah, it's pretty good culture here, man.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And so just kind of want to walk you through, take me back to 2019 right quick. Obviously, it's a legendary play, but I know fans want to kind of hear about your insight and from your perspective. And so just kind of walk me through your mindset when, you know, it's the fourth quarter. It's about 8 minutes to go, you know, in the Iron Bowl, biggest game, you know, in college football, like not just of our season, but it's the biggest rivalry in college football. And so we down by five, knocking on the doorstep in the end zone, and you get your number called. So what's going through your mind when you know you're finna get that ball?
I was excited. I'm like, this is it right here. So I'm piggyback to when we got halftime, because you know remember Schwartz had got hurt like the first play or the second game play of the game. So when we went in halftime, it was on Miles on head, running that Wildcat play. So he come to me halftime. He was like, hey man, do you still know how to run a play? I'm like, what?
Of course.
Freaking ran on it, run that play. So now that's all I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about that one play. I know I'm going to get in and do some other plays, but I'm like, man, I'm focused on that play. Like, that's the only play I'm worrying about. Like, I clear my mind out of everything. I'm like, okay, when you call Wildcat, we're going to be like on the 10 going in or 15 going in, and he going to call it. Then I just remember, he said, Wildcat? I ran on that field so fast. I already knew what time it was. And I say, I looked at the scoreboard. I'm like, okay, this could be for the game right here. I say, I want to end the game.
That's another thing I was going to ask you. And so, like, take it a step further. Like when you turn that corner and you see the safety coming downhill, now what's going through your mind?
I got him. I know I got him. Cause this is how I know I got him. Cause I was running so fast. And if you remember, I was slipping a little bit just cause it was like the grass was kind of slick where I was running, but I was running and when I noticed I caught my balance and I got him, like, oh yeah. I say I got him. I knew I had him.
Yeah.
I wish I would have did a little bit more, like. But hey, it is what it is. The play it worked out fine though. But I want to do like a little bit more. But you know, it's all good.
You know, I think that play really just embodied like what kind of player you was, and then how you popped it after the play, and then kind of just take us into, you know, what was it like, you know, immediately after that? What was your phone like? I know everybody back home was going crazy. Like, did things kind of change for you after that, or was it just chill? Like, you know, I just made a big play. It wasn't nothing serious.
At first, I'm like, it's Gregland. I'm like, I've been doing this, bro. Like, people just catching on. I was like, man, I know I'm short, but man, go watch the film. Like, from my freshman year of high school to my senior. Like, this is what I do. So, like, in a moment when it happened, though, I was hyped because, you know, I know we still the game because our defense was playing good. I knew the game was over right after that. But, man, like, it was just normal. It was normal for me. But after the game, when the fans rushed the field and I was – man, I was damn stuck on the field, bro. Like everybody, hey, Warren, take the pill. I'm like, oh yeah, this is lit. I joined the moment, bro. Like I joined the moment so much because like every fan. Then after that, man, you had 1,000 people tagging me in their Iron Bowl post, friends, family, whatever. Everybody like reposting. They posted me.
ESPN posting that. Bleacher Report. Everybody.
That was so crazy. My phone was hot that whole night. Like, it was hot. I had to get off it. Like, because I remember when they sent me the picture and I posted the picture, bro. I'm like, no way.
Phone started glitching.
Bro, just glitching. Like, I'm trying to get on Instagram. It's just doing this. Like, I'm like, bro, what? So I had to get off Instagram. My phone was hot. I had like 1,000 messages, 1,000 DMs. People just hitting me up. I'm like, good play. I'm like, bro, this like is normal. Like, people who I play with, they were like, this just normal for you. I said, but they don't know, but we know. So,
No doubt. And so just before we wrap it up, obviously now we kind of talked about it a little bit, but now you're on the other side of it now. Coach, just kind of talk about what that journey has been like. What do you really love about it? And then I just kind of I wonder, like, what kind of coach are you? Do you coach the way that you played, or are you kind of chill, like, kind of laid back?
Nah, so I'm still the same person. I just bring the energy. I just same person I was playing. I just different side. You know, you got to go about things a little differently from when I was a player. You know, you got to. It's the biggest thing. The biggest challenge for me right now is, you know, just still learning, keep learning, especially because I'm with the receivers right now. Just keep learning the game, and I think that's the biggest thing, and that's a blessing for me. Because when it's time for me to get a job, you know, I'm going to tell, hey, man, I know the passing game, too. I just don't know running back stuff. I know the passing game. And that's going, like, whoever the guy interviewed me, I'm like, oh, snap, he know this, he know that. He know all the S's and O's. So I can teach the backs of what everybody doing. Oh, this receiver, he doing this on this route. That's why we, you know, probably running the burst route. We running the option route. No, just simple things like that. So I think that's the biggest challenge, just learning. It's really learning the receiver position. Because, you know, I played running back. You know, I know about the receiver, but I already know as much as I should. But since I've been here, you know, Coach Mike Brown is, like, a phenomenal teacher. Like, Coach Brown, like, when I first got here, he was like, what's up? All right, let's get on the board. Like, just like that. Like, hey, Coach Brown. Immediately, bro. Coach Brown don't mess off. Like, he's a hell of a teacher, man. Like, everything that he done taught me, like, I'm catching up on his verbiage and everything of how he go by things, how he teach things. And I think Coach Brown, like, you know, one of the best, if not the best receiver coach. Like, man, this man know how to break it down like this. I'm like, dang, because our play is kind of long. Like, you know, I can't stand, but it's kind of like, you'll get tricky. You're like, what? Oh, never mind. Coach Brown, he's going to talk me. He done broke it down to, okay, cool. Now I don't caught up with it. So everything else is good, man. Like, this man here, great program, you know, with Coach Freeman, you know, with my guy, Jaywan Sider. You know, he one of the reasons I'm here, too, him and Coach Brown. So, man, just loving it here, man. Just, you know, going to keep learning until my time comes.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, bro. Super happy for you for sure, and definitely proud of you. Cause, oh man, I know me along with everybody else know you got everything that it take. And then I know you got your family with you too. Not brand new, but you know, a father now. So,
yes, sir.
You know, obviously, yeah. Congratulations on that. How's fatherhood been treating you?
Bro, fatherhood good, man. I think the best thing ever in the world is every time I see my daughter, she always say football games, cause she always think I'm going to the football games. Awesome. So it's just so funny because she always say, Daddy, football game? I'm like, no, football season's not here. That's all she says, football game. Yeah. And like every time I walk through the door, all I hear, Daddy. Like, that's the best feeling in the world. Like every day.
Best feeling in the world.
I'm telling you, bro, that's the best feeling, man.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, bro. So before we let you out of here officially, man, just one last question. But you know, besides all the highlights, you know, obviously the elite track speed, you know, What do you want people to remember about you and how you went about your business?
I just want them to remember that, you know, I never let anything affect me or how I go by things. Just know that I always stood 10 toes. Always been sort of like never, you know, talk bad about the next person. Just always did what I was supposed to do. And whenever I got my opportunity, man, I just did something like just did what I was supposed to do with it. That's it. So right. That's what I wanted to remember. That's it. Just I always did what I was supposed to do.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you, dog, man. Keep going. You doing your thing. I'm proud of you, bro. And yeah, we're going to keep this thing rocking. Keep it rolling, bro, for sure.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely, man. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. I'm your host, Chela Wooten, and this was Landing on the Plains. And we'll catch you on the next one. And as always, War Eagle.